Hey everybody, welcome back to the Firefighters Podcast. In today's Flashpoint, I'm speaking with Mark Risdale from Avon Protection. Avon Protection is the world leader in respiratory and ballistic protection, delivering life-critical solutions for militaries and first responders. Avon Protection have got a really interesting past. For example, one of their engineers developed the first ever handheld thermal imager for firefighting over 40 years ago and have continued to innovate time and time again. I caught up with Mark at the Emergency Services Show 2021 and they had some really good looking kit on display. I've personally got my eye on some of their respirator kit. I am one of those weirdos that likes to wear this stuff when I'm training and their kit just looks absolutely fantastic. Jump on over to avonprotection.com to have a look at it. Today's Flashpoint is brought to you in partnership with our wonderful partner William Wood Watches. If you head on over to William Wood Watches, they are releasing a brand new NARF commemorative watch. This is coming out in February and you can get in there first. If you haven't heard about NARF before, it's the National Association of Retired Firefighters. They're the ones with all the best stories, folks. We've had a number of them on the podcast. And it just so happens that our number one partner is collaborating with them to create a specific commemorative watch. You can head on over to williamwoodwatches.com. There is a 30-day return period when you buy any of these watches. And every time you do, you contribute to charitable donations. This year alone, they have contributed over £40,000 to firefighters' charities. So a big thanks again to William Wood Watches. So without further ado, let's catch up with Mark Risdale, today's Flashpoint. Thanks for coming back, and I'll see you on a future episode soon.
Kush Khan, next to that guy. This is going to be interesting because these two are massive compared to me. I'm on this side now.
Yeah, this is Mark Risdale from Avon Protection, Sales Director for Europe and Asia Pacific.
Mark, welcome back to the Emergency Services Show. How you doing, boss?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Love the show, been here many, many times, so it's
it feels great experience. Ages since we've been back, doesn't it? I was just saying to a few of the exhibitors, that sense of community that we've all got, like seeing people you haven't seen in years, has been really, really crazy. How has the company been getting on in the last 2 years away from it all?
Well, so we supply PPE to the emergency services, so for us it's been actually a really busy time. We've had our best year for a long time, so it's actually been really successful. But actually now people are beginning to spend their budgets.
Yes.
And things are falling off. So it's good that the exhibition kind of life is coming back on online again. So
the whole COVID thing, and I don't want to get into a COVID chat, but what I'm trying to say when you say about the budgeting, it's kind of thrown that additional cost on everybody's budget. And okay, the government will pick up a certain cost or whatever. But ultimately, it's had to come out of the budget somewhere. But you guys have actually been innovating with some awesome products that we've got here today. So now I suppose the challenge is the stuff you've really been working on versus the stuff you've had to sort of reactively work on. What sort of stuff are we looking at today? Because I know we're going to have a chat on a real episode soon.
Yeah, so I mean, what we're showing today is for two emergency services, really. It's for the firefighters, so we've got a whole range of thermal images over there, which we supply to about 65% of the UK's fire and rescue services.
We use yours, in our fire training unit. They're significantly smaller than the big clunky ones that you see from a couple of other brands.
Absolutely, and actually the key with those products is that we've been making them since the Falkland Wars in the 80s.
Really?
So we originally sold them to the Navy, so we kind of invented the technology for firefighting. We've been in it from day one, so we totally get what firefighters' requirements are for thermal images.
I find yours a lot easier to remember getting off the pump as well. When you're going off the pump and you're going to do a quick inspection, you're looking for hot spots in a building or something like that, when you have to get this massive thing out of a holster from somewhere versus yours, goes straight on your PPE and off you go. It's not something that you've got to, like, it's like a whole person's job to hold.
Back in the day, these things were two-handed and they had two blokes.
It's like the old big cameras, are massive.
Absolutely,
things.
Yeah. But what actually happened was Shirley Towers happened in 2012.
Yeah.
And of course, we lost a team. And so the coroner did the public inquiry and asked us to develop a camera that would fit in a tunic pocket. So we went to Bristol Uniforms, found out the measurements of their pockets on their tunics, and that's why it's so small. And still to this day, it's the lightest, smallest camera on the market.
It's bonkers that so many companies must just be arbitrarily ignoring that. Maybe they've invested so far into a big handle thing with a really heavy top mount to it.
Yeah,
but yours is that body worn version.
Well, actually, again, that was feedback from customers. So we developed the camera not based on what our engineering team think the camera should look like.
Yeah.
We base it on customer feedback. So you tell us as a firefighter what you want, and the key was they wanted it to balance in a gloved hand. That's the key. So the battery's on the bottom and the screen's on the top, so you get that balance. Whereas you're absolutely right, a tick on a stick, as we call them. It's usually a thin stick and all the weight's actually in the display, so it's not balanced well.
And while some of them come, I mean, I know yours does as well, but some of them come with a clip and it suggests you could let go of it and continue operating as well. It's heavy.
If you've got that hanging from your chest, we sort of pretend that you can let go of it, but you've pretty much got to have it on your hand all the time, in which case, how are you doing your personal protection?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you've got some incredible stuff that you do for sort of the police and the armed forces here. This dude looks pretty scary and impressive. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, so this is what we call a combination system, and the idea being with this particular unit is that this guy has no idea what kind of threat he's going to go into.
Okay.
So he needs to be prepared for every eventuality. So he's got an SCBA, which is on his back, 9-litre cylinder, which will give him, 45 minutes of air. And then he's also got a PAPA system, a powered system, which gives him powered assisted breathing through two canisters.
So like the PRPS, so he could still... If he didn't have to go off solid air, if it were just a contaminant in the air,
exactly,
he could go off a filtered one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So as soon as you go on that, that's for big airborne chemicals.
Yeah, absolutely.
But your time, your 45 minutes.
Absolutely.
You pretty much need to have a plan getting out time now.
Exactly. But the key is with this is you can switch between them at the mask.
Beautiful.
So,
I see on the side,
You've got basically APR
mode, CBA.
Only the filters. On the cylinder or PAPA. So
am I right to understand that you're going to be giving one of these to the podcast as part of the partnership deal? Because I want to be wearing that going out for a run. I promise you, I will test that to the absolute max. Nah, I love it.
And then on his hip, he's got what we call a CH15, which is an escape hood. So if this guy's going in to pull someone out or something, and it's a nasty chemical attack, they can don this hood. One size fits all. No training burden. Pull them out and they're safe.
We spoke a little bit about the stuff at Grenfell. Escape hoods has been something big that's come out of the end of that because of big long stairwell full of smoke. You make a rescue, but maybe you're 20, 30 metres or 10, 20 minutes away from clean air.
Yeah.
They're really being pushed hard now, but you guys have already had a product out for a long time, I understand.
Yeah, so we brought escape hoods out. We had them with the ambulance crews years and years ago.
I used to see them in Mines Rescue as well, 20 years ago.
Yeah, we used to have an EH20, which is, 20 years ago?
The old steel encased ones.
That's it.
God, I remember trying to repack them after you did the training. They never fit in the damn box.
Exactly. The problem is, with smoke, is all the gases associated with the smoke. And actually, we've moved away from that, and we've focused mainly on CBRN. The reason being is our smoke hoods had palladium in them.
Okay.
And it's a prestige metal, and it's skyrocketed in price. So we were having to charge £500 or £600 for each unit, which it makes it price sensitive.
Yeah. It means you as a salesman, you know it's a great product, but you feel awkward saying it because you're it's really ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then it's just going to discourage people from doing what they know is right, which is buying them for their rescuers to utilise when they need them.
Absolutely. Now, there are products on the market that do carbon monoxide, and they use what they call hoplite, which is a different chemical. The problem is the reaction makes the air very hot, so you're breathing at 80 or 90 degrees and kind of, you know, if you're trying to escape somewhere, you're running like mad, you're hyperventilating, the last thing you want to do is breathe something that's so hot.
Are they the ones where it's having a chemical reaction happen within a container, hence all the heat, isn't it? It is obviously a filtration, but it effectively burns. So some of them used to have pellets in, and some of them I know the ones you mean.
The catalyst gets hot, it's as simple as that, and it's not ideal. So we kind of moved away from that. Palladium was the ideal scenario because it doesn't burn hot, it keeps the air cool.
Okay.
The problem being is it's so expensive. So we've kind of moved away until that price comes back down, then we'll start again. But
now we're going to be getting together at an episode in the near distant future, but I wanted to ask you before we go, what's the best part of working in the emergency services sector?
I think it's the people, isn't it? I mean, you know, you're meeting people who are saving people's lives, you're meeting people who are protecting us from the nasty guys that are running around trying to kill us with chemicals.
That's it.
And when you work with those kind of people who have an absolute respect for life, I think the bottom line is it's a pleasure to work with people.
It doesn't feel like a slog going to work. You can tangibly make a connection between what you're doing and the thing it's creating. You know, we're not making straws from McDonald's. No disrespect to McDonald's. But you're making a product. It's going to save somebody's life.
Absolutely, yeah.
Beautiful.
And that's the bottom line. It's a great place to be.
Thank you very much, my brother. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, nice one. All right.